Jesus feeds 5,000 people, Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. Jesus and his disciples talked about all that had been going on. "Let's go to a quiet place and get some rest," Jesus suggested. So they got into a boat and went off to a solitary place. But many people saw them leave and ran ahead of them to the place where they were going. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Later that afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "Send the people home so they can get something to eat." "You give them something to eat," Jesus answered. "Feeding all these people would cost 8 months' wages. We haven't got that much money." So Jesus said, "What have you got?" Andrew, one of Jesus' disciples, said, "Here is a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but that won't be enough." Then Jesus instructed the people to sit down in groups, and taking the loaves and fish, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. Then he gave it to the disciples, who gave it to the people, and everyone had enough. Afterwards, the disciples even collected 12 baskets of leftover food. The number of people fed that day was at least 5,000.
Morning, everyone. Thank you very much for coming out in the strong winds that we've had to put up with the last few days. As Tim has said, and as the children have been listening to, we're looking at the story of the feeding the 5,000. Now, some of you will know I am the father of 3 young children, and my wife and I, Fiona, thought it was very important when they were little that we got them used to reading, and so we would read to them every night the bedtime story, they'd snuggle in. And I don't know if you have a similar story. If you're a parent, you have a book that for some reason just really seemed to stick with the children, and you have to read it again and again and again. They knew every word, they knew every illustration, and you had fun sometimes. You change a word, no, that's wrong, Daddy, it should be this, and they know the book back to front. And a book that certainly stands out in my experience was a book called Slinky Malinky. Anyone read it or know it? It's fantastic, isn't it? It's good, isn't it, Lucy? Okay, and it's a rhyming couplet story. So every couple of lines, there's a rhyme. And I haven't read this book for probably 15 years, but I read it so many times when my children were young, I can tell you now, Slinky Malinky was blacker than black. He was a stalking and lurking adventurous cat. He had a warbling wail and a kink at the end of his very long tail. That's as far as I can go, I'm sorry. But it goes on to say that Slinky Malinky, actually, he was a thief. And he would go out at night, he'd steal all kinds of stuff. And my kids loved it. And with 3 boys, I probably read the story about 50, 60, maybe 70 times. And why am I talking about Slinky Malinky? Well, some of you this morning may have heard the story of feeding the 5,000 many, many times. You may have heard many sermons about it. And the trouble with me reading Slinky Malinky all those times, sad to say, by the end of it, instead of Slinky Malinky was blacker than black, it tends to be Slinky Malinky was blacker than black, a stalking head like an adventurous cat. And you miss the joy, you miss the information, you miss the illustrations and the words that are there. And so I'd encourage you this morning, no matter how many times you've heard the story of feeding the 5,000, that you pay attention and you give it your best. And maybe God will show you something new this morning. So we have a scene in the book of John. Jesus has been healing many people. He crosses the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and he sits down for a rest. And he looks up and he sees a great crowd of people approaching. Now, we call this story the feeding the 5,000, but if you read the account, it actually said 5,000 men. And some commentators I've read say there could have been as many as 30,000 people. But certainly there's at least 5,000, maybe the equivalent amount of women, children as well. So we could be looking at maybe 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 people. We don't know. But there was an awful lot of people. Imagine the Amex Stadium packed to the rafters. Okay, a lot of people. And Jesus is sat there with his disciples. And he says to Philip, now I don't know why he chose Philip. Maybe Philip was sat next to him. Maybe he called Philip over and said, Philip, just come and sit with me a second. I've got a question for you. Because see, Philip, we have a problem. And truth be told, Philip, I've been so busy recently, I should have done my online order 3 days ago and it totally slipped my mind. I've also just checked my mobile. There is no signal out here, so I'm afraid I can't use my Deliveroo. And by the way, they haven't been invented yet for another couple of thousand years. We have a problem, Philip. Where shall we buy food or bread for these people to eat? Now, at this point, I feel a bit sorry for Philip. Did Jesus single him out? Or was it purely by chance? I don't know. You can think about that. And Philip's reply is, this is not a possible situation for me. Even if we had 8 months' wages, we could only buy enough food so everyone could have maybe one mouthful each. And so my first question to you this morning is, are there any Philips here amongst us this morning? Is there a situation where you are looking at now and thinking, this is impossible for me to solve? I don't have the physical resources. I don't have the finances. I don't have the mental strength. I don't have the wisdom to solve this problem. I only know a small percentage of what goes on in this church, and you hear some sad news. Andy recently, Charlotte speaking beautifully last week about her sister. Problems in my family, where two of my children at least have decided don't want to go to church at the moment. Christian friends who have got long-term illness. Life can be very hard. And there can be those times when you think, this is beyond me. I cannot solve this problem. But let's look at the accounts, see what it says here. Verse 6 in John 6 says, Jesus asked Philip this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus has in mind what he can do or wants to do in your situation, whatever your situation is at the moment. It's not a surprise to him. He doesn't go, oh, I didn't see that one coming. I'm very sorry. I must have had a quick sleep there. He knows exactly what is going on in your situation, and he has in mind what he wants to do and how he can solve that problem for you. And I think if we think about that, and I'm speaking to myself here as well, we come to a point where we have to trust and commit to a sovereign God. I cannot explain to Andy Clark's family why he had this bad accident. I have no idea. And I can't really provide a solution for him. But I know one who can and who wants to do something about it and be involved right in the middle of that situation. And I think if we can find the strength and the faith to commit to this sovereign God who we believe is over all and in all, life will become easy. Is not the right word. I'm not talking about we'll suddenly skip through life with no worries, no fear, no pain. That's not true. But we can know deep in our hearts, in our soul, that God knows exactly what is going on, and he has in mind what he wants to do with your situation. So that's my first point this morning. Jesus has in mind what he wants to do for you. Excuse me a second. Second point I want to make is I want to talk about the boy in this situation. Now, strangely, he's only mentioned in the book of John. The other three Gospels don't mention him. We're not told a lot about him. We first meet him in John 6, verse 8, where Andrew says, Jesus' disciple Andrew says, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now, we're not really told anything much else about the boy. Was he there with his family? Was he there on his own? Did his mum pack him a picnic and send him off for the day? Say, there you go, Jacob, have a nice day. I'll see you at 5 o'clock tonight, or whatever it is. I don't know. I like to think that he went out just with his picnic all for himself. And do you know, you can tell an awful lot about people by their picnics. If we could look at that slide, please, Ben. Thank you. There we go. So, on the left, we have a Brighton and Hove picnic. On the right, we have a Portsmouth picnic. Now, before you think I'm being very rude to Portsmouth, I'm actually from there, so I kind of feel as I'm allowed to have a bit of a dig at my own home city. And when I was young, which was a long time ago, our picnics were very simple. Sandwich, bag of crisps, and a nice bottle of fizzy pop. Okay? I don't think I'd have gone, is that diet? I wouldn't have gone diet, I'd have gone full fat, definitely. Okay? That's what our picnics were like. But I live in Brighton and Hove now, and it's a very different situation. Life has moved on. We're in 2022, I think. And look at that beautiful spread. We've got some lovely croissants there. Maybe some homemade scones. Lots of fruit. Got to be healthy in Brighton and Hove, haven't you? Okay. Maybe some kind of dip, cheese straws. I don't know. Maybe some lovely focaccia bread. Or maybe some sourdough. Okay, who knows? When I was young, bread was bread. Packet of Mother's Pride, usually white slice, that was it. But now you've got to have focaccia or sourdough. You've got to go to the right bakery to buy your piece of bread. Maybe, we can't see it, maybe they've got some coffee there. Don't get me started on coffee. When I was young, coffee was either a nice cup of Maxwell House or Nescafe, usually finished off with some lovely Coffee Mate. Now, we were in coming back from Starbucks yesterday, 2 days ago, and Fiona very kindly brought me a coffee, and the lady behind the counter said, do you want a medium? I thought, yeah, medium would be all right. I went and sat down, medium comes out, medium's about that big. And Fiona says, well, that's their marketing plan. You buy a medium, and it's like a gallon of coffee. I'd hate to see a large, it must be, I don't know. Okay, but things have changed and things have moved on. You can tell a lot about a person by their picnic. And we can tell a lot about this young boy by his picnic. Although we don't know his background, his family, he's got barley loaves. Now, barley at that time was the most kind of common grain, usually eaten by the poorest people. So this boy probably comes from quite a poor family. Sometimes the barley was used to feed the animals, but it was a common grain, and if you were poor, you were probably eating barley loaves. And so picture the little boy now, stood in front of Jesus. Gives him his barley loaves. And sometimes, when we are going through our lives, our situations, our difficulties, all we have is a poverty of resources. We don't feel as though what we have is enough for the situation. Maybe it's a financial situation at the moment. I haven't got enough to pay my monthly rent or my mortgage or to sort my car out. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a lack of wisdom in a situation at the moment. Being a parent, possibly the hardest job in the whole world, well, I don't know. Okay? Very difficult. Maybe you think, do you know what? I just don't know what to do with my children at the moment. Maybe it's a work situation. Maybe there's trouble at work. Maybe your boss is on your case. I don't know what your situation is, but whatever you have got, bring it to Jesus. It was only because the little boy brought the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus that the miracle we're going to look at in a few minutes' time happened. If he hadn't have brought it, nothing's going to happen. Ben, can we look at those couple of verses, please? So from Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, doesn't matter how small, maybe your life is going really well at the moment, that's brilliant, probably at some point is going to get a bit harder. In everything, how small, how big, it doesn't matter. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Whatever it is, bring it to Jesus. If you bring it to him, he can start to do something with it. If you don't bring it to him, you're on your own. And it gets very, very hard. Can we look at the second verse, please? Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We are not talking about an impersonal God. The Bible very clearly teaches we have a personal God who loves us. Jesus' death on the cross was for our personal salvation. And if we bring him what is in our mind, in our heart, what is troubling us, he can begin to do something with it. If we don't, he can't. So we need to bring things to him, remembering that he has in mind what he wants to do. He knows all about your situation. So we've talked about Jesus. We've looked at the little boy. And finally, we're going to have a look at the disciples and see the part that they played in this story. Now, it's not actually mentioned in John's Gospel, but in the other three Gospels, it very clearly says this. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 9. So if you want to check, please feel free. It says, taking the five loaves, this is Jesus, and the two fish, he gave thanks. Do you remember the verse? Be thankful. Jesus was thankful for what he had. He had five loaves and two fish. He was thankful for them. And then he broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. Now, have you ever really thought about this miracle? I bet everyone has heard of this story. Have you ever thought about how it actually happened? When Jesus gave thanks, was there suddenly a huge Hercules aeroplane flew over and he did one of those drops where they push everything out the back, you know, when they're trying to feed refugees, and the bread and the fish just landed and the disciples distributed it? Or was Jesus praying, and as he's praying, kind of he suddenly had these loads of loaves and fish appear in his arms, to suddenly say, right, guys, help me out here, take them, give them out. If you read what it says in Luke, it says Jesus broke the loaves and the fish, gave thanks, then he gave them to the disciples. You can tell I'm a teacher because I come prepared. It's a bit like me being there with a fish finger and a crust of bread. Imagine I'm one of Jesus' disciples. He says, right, Dave, there is your bit of bread. There is your bit of fish. Off you go. Oh, thanks. What do you mean, off I go? Well, go and give it to the 5,000, the 10,000, 15,000, whatever it is. Ah, thanks. But it's not enough. Okay, just go, do what I've asked you, and let's see what happens. So I'm not going to do it, but if you imagine, I walk down here now, I share a bit of fish finger and a bit of bread. And somehow, if I'm reading the text correctly, after the disciples had given some out, more appeared. That's the only way it could happen to me. That's the only way it makes sense if Luke and Matthew and Mark us telling the story correctly. It was only as the disciples went and did what Jesus asked them to do that the miracle happened. Fair play to those disciples for doing that. I know they'd seen incredible things, healings and so on and so forth, but to walk out to a crowd, a hungry crowd, with your small bit of fish and your small bit of bread, trusting that Jesus is going to come and produce and perform the miracle. Fair play to them indeed. And so my final point this morning, go and do what he asks you to do. Even if you're only taking your fish finger and your small piece of bread, even if you're only taking your small amount of faith or your small amount of wisdom or your small amount of ability or your small amount of money, take it Do what he asks you to do, and then is when we will begin to see the miracles happen. So, my final summing up, really, the 3 points I'd like to leave us with this morning. Number one, whatever you are going through at the moment, whatever is your situation, if you feel like a real Philip and you think, this is just so overwhelming for me, first point, Jesus has in mind what he is going to do. It is not a shock to him, your situation. He is more than happy to come and get involved in the middle of your situation. Second point, bring whatever you have and give it to Jesus. Then he can start to do what he wants to do. And finally, go and do what he wants you to. And then we will begin to see the miracles in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this historical account of feeding the 5,000, 10,000, whatever it was, Lord. It seems incredible, but you are a sovereign God, able to perform miracles. Lord, I thank you for the lessons we can learn from this story. Lord, I thank you that you have in mind what you want to do in our life for us in the situations that are troubling us at the moment. Where we can't see a solution, you can. I pray you would help us to trust you as your children, and we would bring to you whatever is in our mind and in our heart, no matter how big or how small. And finally, Jesus, you would help us to be bold and go out with our meager resources, if you like, and do what you want us to do, trusting that as we do it and are active for you, you will meet with us and you will start to work in the lives and the situations of the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.